David Levitt's books, which include Family Dancing, The Lost Language of Cranes, and While England Sleeps, have been the objects of critical praise and scandal. His new collection of three short stories, called Arkansas, has already become the talk of literary New York. That's because the lead story, The Term Paper Artist, was to have appeared in Esquire, but at the last minute was killed, reportedly because of the story's graphic gay sex scenes. The editor of Esquire denied that was the reason. Book critic Maureen Corrigan reviews Arkansas and tells us what all the fuss is about.
These days, David Levitt must be nursing a whopping persecution complex, and who can blame him? A few years ago, Levitt wrote a novel called While England Sleeps, in which he lifted parts of the autobiography of the English poet Stephen Spender. Novelists have been doing this kind of docudrama thing a lot lately, incorporating real-life figures into their fiction. The problem for Levitt, however, was that Spender was still alive at the time, and he particularly objected to his appearance in fictitious graphic sex scenes throughout the novel. Spender successfully sued, and While England Sleeps was sentenced to the paper shredder. Now, Levitt has written a marvelous short story entitled The Term Paper Artist about the emotional aftermath of this fiasco. The story was to have appeared in the current April issue of Esquire magazine. But just as that issue was going to press, The Term Paper Artist was pulled. As a writer who likes to transgress the boundaries between fact and fiction, Levitt must be appreciating the irony of this situation, that a short story about the pulping of his novel itself has been pulped. But all is not lost. The Term Paper Artist appears in Levitt's new short story collection, Arkansas, whose title was inspired by a quote from Oscar Wilde, a gay writer who really knew what it felt like to be persecuted. In the opening of The Term Paper Artist, a novelist named David Levitt is recuperating in California from a legal battle with an English poet. He eventually meets a vacuous but handsome heterosexual undergraduate named Eric, whose grade point average hangs on acing a paper on Henry James and E.M. Forster. Eric makes Levitt an offer he can't refuse. If Levitt will ghostwrite his paper, Eric will let Levitt perform oral sex on him. Word spreads of this congenial collaboration, and soon Levitt is rigorously applying his research skills to a diverse body of texts. Personally, I've found more offensive material in Esquire's annual Women We Love, Women We Hate issue than I do in this story. There are so many things to celebrate here besides Levitt's lavish descriptions of penises. He absolutely nails the tone deafness of some undergraduates when it comes to great books, and he hilariously lampoons his alter ego's situation as a kind of intellectual satyr. Above all, The Term Paper Artist is a brilliantly offbeat redemption fantasy, at least I think it's a fantasy, about the healing powers of sex and literature. At the end of the tale, Levitt's character says, "Those term papers constituted the best work I'd done in my life, and perhaps this was precisely because they were written to exchange for pleasure. Thus the earliest troubadours sang, so that damsels might throw down ropes from virginal bowers." A quick verdict on the other two stories in Arkansas. They're entertaining, but nowhere near as deft and witty. The Wooden Anniversary describes the reunion of two college friends, a gay man and the frustrated woman who loves him, in Tuscany, where trees and cows take on human qualities. The supernatural scenes don't work, and in general, I'm beginning to feel about magical realism the way Joan Crawford felt about wire hangers. Saturn Street features another Levitt-like writer who's distracting himself from a writing block by delivering meals to homebound people with AIDS. The descriptions here of L.A. as a once futuristic Tomorrowland grown old are evocative, the characters less so. Esquire was smart enough to pick the best story of the three in this collection. Too bad they weren't smart enough to print it.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University and is a regular contributor to Newsday, The Nation, and New York Observer.